episode of Healthy Steps Cast, a podcast for health coaches, physicians, or any other health professional committed to promoting healthy lifestyle behaviors. My name is Adam Gavarkas, and I'm a research assistant with the Healthy Steps Program research team based at Western University in London, Ontario, Canada. And I'm very happy that you've decided to join us for this episode. As the researchers behind the Healthy Steps program, a lifestyle prescription program that empowers nurses, dietitians, physicians, and other health professionals to help their patients improve their healthy lifestyle behaviors, we have to be keenly aware of the personal and contextual factors that influence individuals' exercise, sedentary, and dietary behaviors. In Canada, adults over the age of 18 are recommended to get at least 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity per week. However, less than 25% of both men and women are currently meeting such guidelines. This disparity suggests that a significant proportion of Canadians face barriers to be more active. And for the Healthy Steps program and other similar interventions to be successful, it is critical that we understand such barriers and design our program to ameliorate them. One of the most common barriers cited by individuals as inhibiting them from exercising is a perceived lack of time. Across several studies that have investigated the reasons why people don't meet physical activity guidelines, more than a third of people report they would exercise more if they had more time, and it is often the most commonly cited barrier for exercise. It could be that people don't think they have enough time based on their understanding of how long an exercise session should last. In fact, the Canadian Physical Activity Guideline, 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous activity, is often framed as exercising for 30 continuous minutes a day, 5 days a week. If people perceive that at least 30 minutes on 5 days is required to meet such guidelines, this may induce a feeling that they don't have enough time. Taking this perspective, the only way to ameliorate the time barrier would be to promote better overall time management in one's life, perhaps by leaving work early or by going to the gym over one's lunch break to try and find an extra half hour to exercise. However, what if there was another way? The Canadian Physical Activity Recommendation was established as a level that would achieve a number of health benefits, including a reduction in the risk of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, obesity, and high blood pressure, among other conditions. But what if this health benefit could be achieved by exercising for a shorter duration than 30 minutes a day? Perhaps if exercise was more vigorous, then it might promote similar cardiovascular benefits in a shorter time. If that were the case, then people might not need to find extra time in the day. The reduced time needed to exercise might allow it to better fit into people's daily schedules as they are. Recently, researchers at McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario, have started to explore the ways in which high-intensity workouts can achieve similar health benefits in a shorter period of time. In a study published last year, these researchers recruited 27 typically sedentary men and randomly assigned them to one of three groups. The first group served as the controls and were asked not to change anything about their current exercise routine. The second group were enrolled in a more typical, traditional 12-week workout routine, where participants would ride a stationary bike at a moderate pace for 50 minutes, 3 times a week. The third group completed what the researchers described as sprint interval training. They sprinted on a stationary bike for 20-second intervals, followed by 2 minutes of slow recovery riding, for a total of 10 minutes. Similar to the traditional exercise group, participants in this group did the training 3 times a week for 12 weeks. By the end of the 12 weeks, the traditional exercise group had been active for a total of 27 hours, compared to only 6 hours for the interval training group. Although the time commitment was much less for the interval training group, it isn't of much consequence unless their fitness level was at or higher than the level for the traditional group. So how did they do? Well, compared to the control group, who did not improve at all over the 12 weeks, both exercise groups significantly improved their aerobic fitness levels, blood sugar control, and musculature. More importantly, both groups improved equally. The traditional group did not improve more than the interval training group despite riding for 21 hours longer over the 12 weeks. Although this study was small and only included men, it has potentially important implications on how health professionals can promote exercise in their patients. Based on much research, people often blame too little time for why they aren't exercising, a barrier that can be hard to overcome if it is assumed that one must exercise for 30 or more minutes a day for it to be beneficial. However, this research suggests that if people exercise at a higher intensity, benefits can occur despite exercising for a shorter time. If you're a health professional and are faced with a patient who is at risk for chronic disease but doesn't think they have enough time to be active, consider suggesting a higher intensity workout that can be completed in less time. Things like sprinting intervals on a stationary bike or up a local hill could be ways in which these people could fit exercise into their busier schedules. Before I conclude, it's important to note that these benefits of this type of shorter exercise routine occur because it is engaged in at a more vigorous pace. For highly sedentary individuals who are just beginning to exercise, or for older adults, highly vigorous activities may not be safe to engage in, so it is critical that you use your best judgment to only recommend this type of exercise to those who are safely able to engage in it. I want to thank you very much for taking the time to listen, and on behalf of the Healthy Steps team, we hope you tune in again. If you'd like to learn more about the Healthy Steps program and how to become a certified Healthy Steps coach, please visit us at www.healthysteps.ca and explore our online training program. If you'd like to reach out to provide feedback or recommend a topic, you can email us at healthysteps@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can follow our team on Twitter @HealthySteps or me @AdamGavarkovs. Till next time, talk soon.